Hey everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Owner's Box. I'm Billy Koch, founder and managing partner of Little Red Feather Racing Club, joining me alongside of always. Did you switch us?
Oh, you know what it is? It's because I normally am already in the room and then you come in. And so it's like first, second.
It's weird being on this side. I have other no side. Idea. Anyway, this the other way. You know Michelle Yu. You could see Michelle Yu. You see her every weekend at Santa Anita. You see her on European broadcasts around the world. She is terrific. Michelle, thanks for joining us. And yes, I did shave.
You did shave.
I was, you know, when I have the gray, it is just, it is old looking sometimes, but
it
now
doesn't look old.
I think, I don't know. My kids said yesterday, truth be told, we all went mustaches last night. We went out to dinner and we all had mustaches. And then I looked at myself in the morning and I looked.
Oh my gosh, that is awful.
I shaved it.
Awful. So that's the
truth. We have a great show. Joe McCloskey is going to join us. They had a huge grade one winning victory the other day with Johannes. I will say he was by far the best looking horse in the paddock that day. I was extremely impressed and nervous about him. Umberto Rispoli, Tim Yachtin. Tremendous job by them. What a nice horse Johannes is. We're going to learn all about him. They bred Johannes. I don't know how to say the name of their...
Kuyathi.
Kuyathi. Well, we're going to find out what the heck Kuyathi means when Joe McCloskey joins us shortly. Michelle, before we do that, I know we have some important things going on. I think we have a sale coming up. What's going on in the world of horse racing?
We do. So our three things of note actually don't involve the sale, so we'll talk about the sale separately. Okay. The first thing is this like crazy news that came out that Louisiana is like reverting to the Stone Age. So they're basically saying like there's no HISA, there's no HIWU in our state. This is what we're going to do. And some of the things that that's been championed by some of the vets in Louisiana, some of the things they're going to do is they're going to roll back clenbuterol to a 72-hour withdrawal time. It's currently 2 weeks. And if you're in a state that's HISA controlled, it is 30 days plus testing, plus they have to have a prescription. They can only be on it 60 days total in like a 6-month period or something.
All right. Let's just say that this is ridiculous. Okay. They're just basically separating themselves from the world of horse racing. And, you know, I've been told from people, and I actually talked to Steve Asmussen today, to, you know, hang tight. Nothing's been decided yet. But in my opinion, and this is my personal opinion, this is absolutely ridiculous. And it is a step back in horse racing. We are trying like fucking hell to get everyone on an equal playing field and trying to get rid of medication that, you know, it just drives me crazy. So,
well, there's some things like
Louisiana bread.
Look, I'll say this. There's some things like they're going to allow you to use Gastroguard closer to race time. I think that's a positive.
I'm saying as a whole.
Yeah. Well, as a whole, look at they're going to also lower the withdrawal time on injections, which is probably a negative. You know,
we've kind of back clenbuterol. I'm sorry. You can't.
Well, we can, and everyone just gets to use it. I mean, like, the thing is there are some positives, there are some negatives, because while HISA is trying to like regulate and this HIWU, we obviously have seen a lot of bad stuff go on for people that are most likely not guilty. It has been really harsh. And the fact that you are so, you know, just feet to the fire to do this, a lot of horses are not even getting like as basic of a care as they need, I feel like. If they need, you know,
I get that, I take
naproxen every night.
I get that, but I think there's other ways than doing it with the way Louisiana just came out and said they were
gunslinging.
What's that?
Gunslinging. And so like in Louisiana is the fairgrounds, which is owned by CDI, and they said they were blindsided. And obviously we have Derby preps down there. You're not gonna be able to travel like from a Louisiana track to a non-Louisiana track and feel safe. Right. So I'll be interested to see what happens. But that was the big news that came out this week. I don't know what's bigger, that or that Trump got convicted on all of his charges.
Again, ridiculous. But okay, we're not getting
okay. The second thing of note was we had a really big weekend at Santa Anita, and we had the Gamely, which was won by Anisette on the return as a 4-year-old. We had the Shoemaker Mile, which was won by Johannes, and obviously their owners are coming
on. Johannes, and I say Johannes. What is it?
Well, I guess we'll ask which one is right. I say Johannes.
Okay.
And then the Hollywood Gold Cup was won by Mr. Fisk. Subsequently, after the wire, Kazushi Kimura did pull up Mr. Fisk and he was vanned off. He said it just felt a little funny and he looked really tired crossing the wire. They brought him back and they evaluated him. He did have a non-displaced condylar fracture. He has already had surgery. He is back in Bob Baffert's barn resting comfortably. He's going to be there about 30 days before they send them out to the farm. And that is standard operating procedure. Generally, when a horse has any kind of surgery like that, you keep them at the racetrack here so that the vets can check them every single day. They can get their bandages changed. They can make sure that they're staying really clean and they're less at risk of infection. And obviously, we don't want to stick them on a van and make them stand on it for a long time going somewhere. So
the light up racing stuff that they're doing now where they have a vet come on and talk with a
I saw Bramlage talk about the surgery on another horse.
It's a really good idea. I kind of like it because all it's doing is educating people. And that's
right.
I thought about it today. Like if God forbid, and it happens, one of my horses have that, like I can go back to that video and actually, like use it in for my own purposes, you know? So I actually thought that was good.
And I think that we've seen, I think all over Kenny McPeak has been really good for years now. Like when he has a horse grab a quarter or get injured, he's like back at the barn, like here, this is what happened. This is why the horse didn't run good. Take a look. This is how we're going to fix it. Right. And I mean, transparency. And I think that Baffert got a lot of heat for a long time. And look, he came right out. He was doing he was willing to do our interviews right after the race. Afterwards, they showed video of him. They showed him post-op surgery. And, you know, he's still getting hate. So it kind of sucks for him. But he's giving us all that we want. And I think a lot of connections
are. Going to get hate. That's just part of our world.
Sorry. Ready? Okay, so our last thing of note.
I thought you were going to pick that up from Little Mermaid, but.
This? Part of that world, what would I give? Okay. The last thing of note is that the half-brother to Flight Line, his name is Eagle Flight, debuted a scintillating winner at Santa Anita.
Look at this guy. What if Trevor had called the race? What would he have said?
I don't even know.
His Eagle's Flight.
You have to sprout wings to catch him.
I think he would have gone, Flight Line's little brother, you are looking at another superstar. Absolutely scintillating.
So either way, he has had a delayed debut, right? He's already three, making his first start. I think that Summerwind and the Heronesses obviously did the right thing here Bill Farish, because they gave this horse the time he needed. As someone that's seen him on the track, he has been mentally immature.
On Monday.
No, he wasn't. So when I talked to Costa before the race and I, you know, asked about him, and Juan Leyva has mentioned that he's been a little difficult and everything. He said, Costa told me the last like 2 to 3 months, something has just clicked in him. And part of that is time, right? And so they gave the horse the time and he's finally maturing. And he was still uber green. Now, he wasn't bad in the paddock or anything.
He was uber green.
I don't think so.
He handled everything. I think he handled like dirt in his face. And
yeah, when he thought he was going to like lug into the rail and like go back out. When he was behind horses, he was kind of like.
Here's the thing. A lot of owners listen to the show. A lot of people listen to the show.
Let's see if we can find the race. Let's replay the race.
Okay. While you do that, I just want to talk about something because I had a 2-year-old that's going to need time. It just happened today. And like you get really bummed out. You're like, oh.
One of the 2-year-olds that I like, Billy?
No. One you don't know about. It's a secret. She's actually really nice. Yeah. She's very nice. And she just needs time. She grew really fast. Her bones weren't ready. She didn't have any significant injuries, nothing. She just needs time to grow up. And it's like, even myself, I've been in this game for, 50 years. And I like get bummed out. Damn it. Like, it's such a bummer. But then you see that like a horse like Eagle's Flight. Now, obviously, this is apples and oranges. But you see a horse like Eagle's Flight break his maiden first asking his 3-year-old in May. And like, you're still super excited about it. It just took a while in May. It's like, what's the big deal? If this filly that we have comes back and doesn't debut till like April or May and then wins first time out, guess what? All is forgiven. It doesn't matter because that's the excitement of this game. You just have to have so much patience. We talk about it all the time. Patience, 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 patience. How many times am I going to say it? I'm just stalling until you get the video up. But that's
I know opinion. I was having a problem getting the video, but I found it now.
Well, let's not watch it because
I've got to get through a commercial. It's gonna. I tried to open it up my ExpressBet account, but for some reason I couldn't pull up any Santa Anita on my ExpressBet account right now.
That's right. We have coming up Kuathe. Kuathe. I have such. I'm gonna have to spell this funny. Kuathe.
C-U-Y.
No, I have to spell it that I sound it. I have to spell it to sound it. I'm probably saying his last name wrong.
Make sure I have nothing else going on up here. Officer
McCluskey.
Officer.
I think there was.
Officer, dear Krupke. It was kindly Krupke. Officer Krupke.
All right, here's the race. Okay,
here's the race of Eagle's Flight. You got to tell me if you can hear sound because you can usually and I can't.
Yeah. Oh, look at you made it big.
Good choice, Santa Ana.
The last one load is Sully. Still got a horseback.
All right, but here's the thing. What I want you to do, I'm going to have you fast forward it in a minute.
Okay.
Let's watch the break.
Here we go. So he's here. He's the two.
To a clean start.
I don't think he's that bad.
See,
look
at, right here. See him. Whoa.
The fastest out of the gate. Tour player has good early speed. Here comes Visceral smartly along the inside. And Flight with Honor is up close in between rivals.
There comes
Sully extreme outside. Santana is four lengths off the lead.
For me, the fact that he was green is a positive. It means he's got a lot of growth to get through.
And Atitla at the back of the field.
I mean, look, like right here he ran up on horses, right? And then Corso's he had nowhere to go. So Flavien like loses Santa some ground, like looking for somewhere else to like take him.
Three of them vying for command. Sully is forced to go four.
And then here he is. He's going to come on the outside right here in the green cap right here.
About four lengths off the lead. He's one from the outside, threading through traffic. Though he's got a clear shot now as the field turns for
and then look how wide he comes. Can you believe this?
Eagle's Flight is coming after him.
Like way wider than the car. And see here he's kind of like lugging in a bit, like. So Flavien has to angle him out.
Eagle's Flight straightens up though, and
and then here he lugs in again.
Ball, and the hype is real.
Okay.
Eagle's Flight strides out beautifully to score by
three. I just think that he was green. Obviously, he is still uber talented.
Okay. Yeah, I would take out the word uber and just say yes, he was a little green, little experience.
Okay, little green.
That's what I will agree with you on.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Little green.
All right.
Ickle bit green. Okay, so he was really cool. We'll see where he winds up down the road.
We have a sale coming up before Joe comes on.
So we've got two sales. So we've got the Phasic Tipton Digital, which just opened up today. And then we've got the June OBS sale. It's a good sale, especially if you didn't get something bought at Timonium. It's like one of our last sales that there's a breeze up for, or is our last sale there's a breeze up for.
Yep.
You know, good horses, Kentucky Derby winners have come from the June sale. You know, some of these horses might had like a little issue before. They might have just needed some time to grow, you know, a little bit more of a late bloomer. But I feel that there's still horses to be found at June. So we should definitely get on someone from OBS next week to talk about it.
Or a consigner.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Maybe we have someone. We'll think about. We'll
Maybe
think
you about should get John to come on.
John Dowd?
Yeah.
Oh, he would be terrible. Are you kidding me? He'd be so nervous. He'd be terrible.
I love him so much.
Admittedly, he would be awful. Sweet man.
So
and
he's great.
Awesome at horses, and he has great opinions. He has strong opinions, which are awesome, and knows how to pick out horses. But he on camera, nope. That's not his thing. And he would refuse to do it. His daughter did get me a really cool Breakers hat because she works there.
Yeah. Like the Breakers?
The Breakers, like the golf course.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And it has a B on it. So we call it the Billy hat.
Oh, I like it. I like
it. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
All right. Well, let's have a quick little breakerito right here. Okay. And our guests. Oh, you know what I should do in the meantime?
What?
I should just read our ad.
Let's
it's
do
about
it.
OBS. Don't miss the 2024 June OBS sale. It's a two-year-old in training sale. Horses go under tack June 4th through 9th. And then the sale is June 12th through the 14th. OBS June graduate Golden Sense, the sire of the Kentucky Derby winner, Mystic Dan, is represented, as well as Bernardini Blaine, Classic Empire, Constitution Dialed In, Liam's, Matt McLean's Music, Maximus Mischief, More Than Ready, Munnings, Nyquist Uncle Mo, and Vino Rosso. For more information, be sure to check out obssales.com.
Very good. That was a good reading of all the stallions. Was there one stallion that you read that you were like, ooh?
You know, I think all of those are pretty established stallions. I am really into trying to buy like a first year stallion because that's generally what we can afford.
Totally disagree. That is ludicrous. You can afford anything you want. All you have to do is keep raising your hand.
Yeah, until the end comes when they bring you the check.
I gotta do workout.
I feel good about that.
All right, let's take a break and we'll be right back with Joe. All right, back here on the Owner's Box with our very special guest today, Joe McCloskey. Now, here, help me out because I've been butchering Kuathi. Is that right?
Kuathi.
There you are, Michelle. You nailed
Kuathi. Kuathi. Yeah. From Kuathi LLC. Joe, first of all, before we even get started, congratulations on an incredible weekend winning the grade one with, now, is it Johannes or Johannes?
It's Johannes.
Michelle, that again.
I'm two for two.
She's actually unbelievable, Joe. She's killing me today.
Yeah, I know. It's my father's middle name.
Well, there you go. That was our first question. Like, where the name from? Before we do that, we're going to talk Johannes. I said it right. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into horse ownership originally and the breeding program.
Well, it's actually pretty simple. I mean, we started with a very defined budget. You have $150,000. So $50,000 for our first horse and $100,000 for trading fees. And then
when was this? Like, what was this?
10 years ago. So
10 years ago.
So then, and how long was the $100,000 supposed to go? Like throughout the entirety of his career?
Correct. And okay. So 10 years later and $2 million later, we're here.
Yeah, but you have a horse that might be worth more than that.
We're counting on it, Billy. We're counting on it.
That's amazing. That's an interesting thing. What went into that? Obviously, look, budget is budget. I get it. But like, what went into that? Hey, we're going to go spend $50,000 a horse. We're putting some money behind it. How did you decide that? Did you sit down one day and just say, this is our plan?
Yeah. You know, I'm a business person and, you know, run big companies. And so you got to make sure that in the real world, if you spend $150,000 on a piece of machinery, you better get a payback or else they're going to find somebody else to do your job. So I figured I'd take the same approach, except this is about as far from real business as it can be. So we said, hey, $50,000, that should get us through the first year, really, is what we thought. And we thought if we had some luck, we'd be able to get some purse money and kind of, expand on it. But, you know, as luck would have it, you kind of get there, you get the bug, you get into it, and then you figure out that maybe we should have bought a bigger horse or a better horse or a better sire. So we started going down that road. But Kuathi, obviously, the first horse we bought and the name of our LLC really is the one horse that we said, hey, we just want to continue to have, you know, her in our stable, along with another. We have two brood mares, but basically we said, let's just go down and see if we can breed, because they said to, you know, as we got into it and we learned more, you know, racing is tough. They said breeding is ridiculously tough. And so I said, let's jump into breeding then, because we might as well. We'll get it.
Just go in the deep end, Joe. Why in the shallow end?
We did. We dove in.
And so what was the genesis of Kuathi, the broodmare? Was she one of the ones, you bought?
Yeah, and not to get you guys too freaked out, but she is the first one we bought, and
was the $50,000 horse?
Correct.
Oh, wow.
I'm out.
But there's more of a story to it, and you'll start to learn more, but we were very specific when we went to Keeneland to buy the horse, and my wife had a vision that we would know which horse if we found some indication of a heart. And so
there's a marking.
A marking. And so we had a couple horses and we had it on Owlick, and then we go, okay, we lost that one. And so the trainer's looking at us now like we're really crazy. And so finally Kuathi comes by and curiously she goes, look at that chestnut. And on the inside of the leg was a perfect heart.
Whoa.
We got it for $50,000, right on the money.
No way.
I know you can't see my arm, but like there's
Wait a second.
Who was the trainer?
That's awesome.
At the time, it was Kitchingman.
Bill Murray.
No, Adam Kitchingman brought us.
Oh, but Bill Murray trained her, didn't he?
Correct. And then Bill Murray trained for us. Now we're with Tim.
That is such a wild story. Like that is, and is your wife like, is she kind of a psychic? Like, does she do stuff like that?
Did she pick the readings too? Like that's, I got to know that. Who picked the readings? Was your wife like, I'll know what stallion's the perfect match?
She actually did. Actually, we both did the Nyquist. That we had two brood mares. And so we said, let's do Nyquist. And we're from Detroit, by the way. And so he was a Red Wing player. So we go, okay, you don't need a lot of, you know, you need some idea. But basically we said, let's just double up. And we did Nyquist with Reiki Baby and Nyquist with Kuyati, both of our first brood mares. So we just doubled down on Nyquist. And, you know, that's kind of how we did it. She actually looks at them all. We get some insight from others, but basically at the end of the day, we pick, you know, the ones that we feel are the best.
Does your wife have a horse background?
No, neither of us do. No. When we moved 10 years ago, we were sitting in California across from the track. We literally live across from the track. And we started going over there. We met a couple people. And next thing you know, we met a trainer. And next thing you know, we were at Keeneland. So that's how it all happened.
So quickly, and you're not even smiling about it. You're very matter of fact about it. Like, this is an amazing story, Joe. You know that, right? This doesn't happen.
No. I know it's very, believe me, we're very blessed. Very, very blessed.
That's wild.
Okay, so Johannes is her first foal, right? So correct. when did you think this is a good horse?
Well, interesting. Johannes, first of all, went out east and talk about ownership. And one day I get a call from Billy Morey and we had two horses with him. And he says, Joe, I got bad news. We got a fracture on one of Reiki Baby's horse. And the other horse is, you know, doing okay, but so. And at that point, you know, it was one of those phone calls you never want to get, but we prepared everything. But I said, we're just going to bring it back to California where we're at so we can see him run. So that's, you know, we were on dirt. We didn't really have a good shot there with Billy. And, you know, obviously the first grass races, when we saw, we said, apparently he likes grass because he did very well. So at that point is really when we really knew we had some.
Joe, you know, a lot of people have been on our show and we talk about barrier of entry. You jumped right in the game 10 years ago with not a lot of knowledge. This is kind of a two-parter. Sure. First of all, how was the barrier of entry for you? Obviously, you've been extremely lucky and you admittedly so. But what would you suggest to an owner, a first-time owner that's kind of getting into the game, that may be something that you learned?
Well, I think what I would recommend to somebody is to kind of get involved with an organization, actually like Little Red Feather or other ownership groups, that they can at least get a sense of what's going on before they take that step. I mean, you know, we're reasonably intelligent people, but it took us out of the 10 years that we've been in it. I think the first 5 years we were trying to figure it all out. Right. So it's good to understand and learn from somebody, and you got to trust them. That's for sure. But then it's a tough game, but that's what I would say would be the best thing to do.
Talk about your relationship with Tim Yachtin and how that came about.
Well, actually, that's a good question. I actually, one of our friends is Ryan Carpenter. He's a good friend of ours.
And, oh, yes.
I talked to him this morning. He's the best. He's
one of the best surgeons, the best veterinarians out there. And we sat down with them. We trust, you know, Jill and Ryan totally. And so I said, I'm looking for a trainer that is going to take care of the horses as much as we want to take care of the horses. And he gave me a list of trainers.
Carpenter's like, let me get my vet bills out.
Gave me trainers. Tim was on there, and we connected with Tim, and then we actually went away from Tim and went back out east for maybe a year or so, and then we came back to Tim. And the term I coined for Tim is, you need to have, a lot of people say you have to have patience in the business. The term I coined for him was glacial patience, because it's unbelievable.
Joe, you have no idea, but we literally just talked about patience before you came on. I said it like 35 times. So that's a great segue into patience. And look, it's true. We just were talking about it. You're talking about glacial patience. How is one supposed to get into this game, spend the money that you've spent, and then still have that patience where you're just like, oh man, we had a setback here. We had another setback here. It's okay. This is a really good horse. I mean, Johannes was amazing and then took most of his three-year-old year off, the second half off.
Well, Billy, on that, well, first of all, let me answer your question. I think patience has to be balanced with faith, and that you have faith in your horses. But the thing that you just touched on, I'll give you a good example. We came out of the American Stakes. Mm-hmm. And if you watch the American Stakes out in Kentucky.
Terrible trip.
Yeah, horrible trip. Umberto is the first time he's ever apologized to us. We go, he said he watched the trip 50 times on the plane ride back home.
I said, oh, yeah, okay. he wasn't happy.
But when we got back here, Tim looked at the horse. Ryan looked at the horse. He said, we're good to go. And Deb and I said, no, you know what? Let's take a scan. Let's do a new scan and see. I want to be sure that we can have a campaign going. And sure enough, he had a small bone bruise that it didn't show up on any of the, morning trotting and everything. Mm-hmm. And that was painful because that was like, then we flew him back out to Kentucky so he can rest. Oh. And then, it was like 8 weeks or 12 weeks. And then it was like, okay, I think we can do it now. We flew him back here. And then when Ryan did another scan, he goes, you're way too early. We need another 12 weeks. So, because that particular issue, of course, it has to be 100% cured. If it's 98, it'll come back to you.
It'll just come back. Yeah.
So anyway, that's the story there. But sometimes owners have to take it in their own hands to spend the money to protect their investments. But also that's part of the faith part of it. You have a good horse. So let's not just keep running it and running it. Let's be sure of it.
So now, had there been calls even prior to this weekend, people wanting to buy into him, wanting to buy him, wanting?
Yeah. And he's not for sale. I mean, not for sale. We've had plenty of people call. Mm-hmm. We don't really look for partners only because, we want to do the right thing for the horse. We want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. And we don't need to, ask any permission anywhere. So yeah, there's plenty of people that are interested, both in the broodmare, both broodmares actually, because we have another one that Mendelssohn Bay back in Dubai actually got a grade two, a group two win. But the point being is that, once you lose that control, you kind of lose it. So we'll see. I mean, it's money's money, but at the end of the day, it's all about the horse for us.
Oh, and Joe, I heard breeding is really hard on the stallion side too. So maybe you should get right into that.
Yeah, just jump in.
I'm about done. Michelle. We'll take it this far.
Can you tell us a little bit about the experience just from this weekend? Because when he returned to the races, he was just so phenomenal. Obviously, I worked very closely with Millie and she was nervous. I was like, I'm not even nervous for you. I've been watching this horse work. He's going to run so good. And he ran as advertised. And then, coming back and waiting for this spot, like what was it like?
Well, first of all, as it was the 11th race, which is the worst.
So Billy was in the first and the last.
Yeah, I was there. It was horrible.
It was a long day for us, but we knew he had the ability. But when you have that, the American turf back from Kentucky in your mind, it's like, you never know. So just to put it in perspective, I even bet him a win in place. I wasn't sure that anything could happen. But the point being, that's what kind of gets in our mind a little bit is obviously you have to have a good trip. If we had the trip, we knew we were going to do okay. Obviously, between your horse, Billy, Goliad, and then Dujour and Easter, I knew it wasn't going to be easy. I mean, it wasn't like a slam dunk at all. So we were... And when the call came out that we were seven lengths behind, I got a little nervous there.
They were rolling though.
Yeah, they were rolling.
Yeah, no, he ran a beautiful race. I have to say, I saw him in the paddock, and he looked awesome. I said it to Michelle. I've already said it. I mean, he had his big forelock, and he was just walking around. I mean, I remember seeing him at the American Turf, and it's almost like a different horse. He really grew up, from that three-year-old, four-year-old year. I mean, he's a different animal now. He is mature. He's big and strong. And this is just a compliment. I don't even have a question. He looked fucking awesome. Sorry about that.
No, appreciate it. And Billy, that's what we saw. That's what we saw. That's what Tim saw. I mean, we saw when he came back after his layoff, it actually helped. So, I mean, there was a silver lining there, even though it was 11 months.
Now, are the Kuyathi and the Reiki baby horses your only horses, or have you branched out?
No, that's it. That's as far as we're going to go. We're, you know, those are our first two horses.
Uh-huh. So
Reiki baby, you know, she was a smaller curling filly that, you know, when we first got into it, a couple bone chips, there was not going to be any problem. Of course, there was a problem. But anyway, we bred her, and she's had some good luck. So, you know, we see her as, you know, we'll continue to breed. We just bred her back to Hardspun. And like I said, Maxfield, we just bred back Kuyathi to Maxfield.
Wow.
Now, I've noticed you've gone every year to a different sire with Kuyathi, but not back to Nyquist.
Well, we couldn't get into Nyquist this year. I went back to Darling. They told me, he was trying. He goes, Joe, I just can't. And it wasn't that.
You give him a grade one winner.
Grade one winner.
But yesterday I talked to him. I said, save us a spot for next year. He says,
there you go.
Absolutely.
I can't believe that.
That's names, I want to go back saying Johannes is named after some whose middle name is Johannes?
My
your
father.
Uncle? Your father.
Yeah.
And then what is Kuyathi?
All right. So back to this, the heart and everything.
Yes.
Okay.
There we go.
It's an acronym for call upon your angels to help you.
Oh my God.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So, okay. There's my, look at my arm again. Wow. And this is your wife who thought of this.
Correct.
Is she from Detroit as well?
Yeah. Yeah. We're both from Detroit. Matter of fact,
we're in Detroit. My wife grew up in Royal Oak.
Yeah, no. She's from Grosse Pointe. I'm from the other side of the tracks in Roseville, Michigan.
So, how excited were you guys for the Lions?
Yeah, yeah, it was very exciting. It doesn't happen that often. I forgot that they were a football team.
I have to say, and this is kind of for Michelle and Joe. You know, because you've had this success with Johannes, and there's another horse that runs for you recently that is pretty good too. I think a 3-year-old.
A Sea Dancer.
Sea Dancer.
Yeah, she's running. She's running Saturday.
That's Johannes's sister, then.
Correct.
Yes. Okay. And it's like you have such distinct silks. Michelle loves talking about silks. You have these pink and purple. I assume that's your wife as well. And I want to hear the story there. But like certain people make good silks that you can that stand out, but also have a certain level of professionalism. I will say, like when I see your silks, I'm like, automatically think, okay, that horse has a chance. These guys win. And that, I think that's really cool. Where did the silks, I'm assuming it was your wife. It was nice.
You nailed it, Billy. She designed them. And you'll notice the stars, of course, and you'll also notice the halo over the sea, which is back to the angel aspect.
Wow. So it's cool. I feel like I should redesign our silks, Michelle.
No, I love your silks, Billy. Your silks are some of my favorite silks. You can't redesign them.
I appreciate it.
I will be upset.
All right, Joe. So
what's next for Johannes? I mean, what's the ultimate goal?
Oh, I know. I already know already.
It's got to be Breeders' Cup, right?
Well, we like to, you know, not get ahead of ourselves. But first of all, he came out of the race in great shape, which is good. Yeah, very good. And then I think we're going to look at the Eddie Reed coming up. And then the City of Hope Mile. I mean, that's the win and you're in.
Right.
As luck would happen, you know, I think that was a winning year in last year in the
Shoemaker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they changed that, but it would be nice to be able to pick the two more races up and see how we do. But we're still talking to Tim to figure out if there's any other options.
The Eddie Reed is going to be one of the greatest races ever. You realize that, Michelle? You know who he's going to have to face?
Who are you going to run, Balnikov or GFP?
And GFP. I don't want to run against Johannes. I just saw him.
I wouldn't want to run against Johannes
either. I don't either. It is nice, Joe. You know, we don't talk about jockeys that often, but let's talk a second about Umberto Rispoli, because, you know, he's gone through a lot in his life. He ended up in Southern California. He came in with a splash during COVID and like dominated Del Mar and then kind of went a little cold, tried to go to Kentucky, didn't work out. There's one thing about Rispoli, it's his passion and his love of these horses. Joe, talk a little bit about your relationship with Umberto.
Now, it's funny. Even today, as I surprisingly rewatched the race, and if you take a look at how much he loves those horses,
I mean,
that to us is a connection. I mean, you know, we're pretty good judges of character and individuals. And even though he screwed up the race in Kentucky, I just know he was the type of guy that, you know, takes care of the horses and he loves those horses. He says he loves this horse. He says his son loves the horse, and you know, it's a great family too. But he's a smart guy. He's articulate. He listens. Not that I can tell him anything, but I mean, he listens to me. But at the end of the day, you nailed it, Billy. At the end of the day, it's his love for the horses. If you notice in the winner's circle, I looked over to him, and he planted a kiss on Johannes's face for I think it was like a minute. I go,
he okay. did. He held him. He like came up and like smooched him, and then he like petted him, and then he like kissed him again.
Yeah, and I said, okay. There you go.
And I think he whispered, like he whispered something to him. I don't know, thank you, yeah. or like, good, like he oh, was sure, talking I'm to sure him. That.
But that's the character of an individual that you want on your side. And that's really what we deal with, is character all the time.
Well, we appreciate your character, and we appreciate you taking the time to come on the show today. Should we have your wife on next time?
Yeah, she I just heard
whisper. Mad right now?
I just heard her whisper no.
Just come into the frame for 2 seconds so we know what she looks like. So when we see her.
She's actually sitting on the steps, so I can't do that.
She okay. wanted to listen. She was eavesdropping. Well,
hey, man, honestly, from all of us, congratulations on your big grade one win. We can't wait to see you at Del Mar, even though we're going to try to beat you. We're big fans, and obviously we appreciate the time you spent with us today.
All right. You bet. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Right. Thanks, man. Thanks for calling in. What a that was fun.
That was so great. I loved it.
I only got the chills twice. I mean, seriously.
I know. What? I didn't know that whole story. I am like, seriously?
That is amazing. It's an amazing story. It's very cool. And we actually provided our audience, Michelle, with something they didn't know today, which is nice. I like doing.
It. Very nice.
So, all right, Michelle. Well, thank you, Joe. What do we have coming up at Santa Anita this weekend?
Okay, so coming up this weekend at the Great Race Place, we have a lot of really good races, including the Honeymoon and the Triple Bend, which if you went back to Cowbred Week, Big City Lights scratched out of the Thor's Echo, where he would have showed off with the Chosen Vron, and he winds up in the Triple Bend. We also have the Dragon Boat Day, which is both Saturday and Sunday. They're going to have a band, they're going to have karaoke and face painting, everything in the infield. They're going to have dragon boat races, which amazing. I don't know if you guys know, but you're in the dragon boats, but they race on land.
Really?
Yeah, it's cool.
Okay.
So, big weekend. It was actually, if you guys came on track last weekend, by the way, thank you. It was packed. It was such a great vibe. It was like great weather. The food was awesome. Like it was really vintage Santa Anita.
It felt back a little bit like Santa Anita. Yes. Maybe we're picking up some momentum as we head into Del Mar. Hopefully these last, you know, 3 weeks at Santa Anita, we can pick it up on the weekends with the good weather. I think the good weather really helps. And I think having cards like we had on Monday on Memorial Day, where that card was just stacked. It was hard. There were long shots, and it was a lot of fun. It was fun to be out.
There were some crazy long shots, right? It was a great day. It was great. I loved it.
Well, you are the best. We're going to let you go because I know you're having a crazy, crazy day. And,
oh, my gosh.
Joe Kowalski from Kuyathi. Kuyathi? Did I say it right?
Kuyathi.
Kuyathi. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, Johannes, a big
Johannes
in the Shoemaker Mile. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Go to the OBS sale in a couple weeks in June, and we'll see you next week here on the Owner's Box.